Welcome to the Mosh Pit. I'm your host, Wes Everett, and I am back for probably a one-off show, but this is a really cool opportunity that I got handed to interview one of the creators of Medieval, basically one of the designers who picked up the IP, bought the rights to re-release this game under HGN from GMT, which is really cool. We dive into it. We learn a little bit more about the game, a little bit more about him, his likes, dislikes, and really just have a fun little chat. So stick with us, and we're going to kick through this intro, and we're just going to pick it up where we pick it up. Here we go.
And I'm back because there's a hell of a lot of young talent that I wish I was surrounded by 10 years ago. So in saying that, I sit back and I say, well, hell, they're there now, so why aren't you? Here I am. All the church children are out there playing this lips. Get into your kids. Never come back, baby. Rock and roll never forgets.
From the Stereo Sound Record Studios, your home for the best in unsigned and indie punk, rock, and metal. This is The Mosh Pit with your host, Wes Everett.
Get down to kind of, there it goes.
There it is.
Yep, there it is. Cool.
There it is. So we've got Ralph with us from Medieval the Game, and just want to say thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And before we get into everything, how are you doing this weekend? What you got going on?
You know, I am doing great this weekend. I'm going to be, my family and I just went to see the second Dune movie last night. I'm hanging out with my son today because my wife works today. And then, you know, I'm doing some playtesting of a different game tonight. And then tomorrow is all family time all day.
Very cool. How was the new Dune? We're going to see it tomorrow. So
it was, my wife, as my wife put it, it was beautiful.
Nice.
And long.
And long. Yeah. 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 That's the one part I'm worried about, but
yeah, it was, there were some parts that drug and that could use a little bit of pacing change, but overall, I'm a big science fiction guy, so it worked well for me.
Very cool. Very cool. I'm glad you're having a great weekend. Glad you got to go see that. Mm-hmm. Speaking of, have you played the Dune, the board game, Imperium?
Dune Imperium, I have not. I have played the old Dune board game, and I know that they've re-released it in from several different places, but I played that a couple times, and that's a lot of fun.
Oh yeah, definitely. Well, since we're talking board games, let's get to Medieval.
Sure.
Give me the backstory on the premise, how it was come together, how the risks that you had to take to get it to the table, basically.
Well, that's a great question. So I and a number of people I know here in, I live in the Seattle area. It had played it for a number of years and loved it. And we were talking one day and one of the guys said, we should reprint Medieval and do it up like a Euro, as opposed to what it was, which was, you know, it had like little cards, that little tiny playing cards that for the map and little cardboard counters for everything. And I was like, sure, let's do it. And so we contacted the original creator of the game, who had the rights to it, purchased those rights. And so at that point, we were several thousand dollars into the hole, and then had to say, well, now that we've spent this money, let's go do a Kickstarter. Let's create a game company, and then go do a Kickstarter to try to get people to buy our vision of a reprint.
Very cool. That was one thing I didn't mention before we started was yes, this is a reprint of the game. More detailed, a little more strategic style.
It's very similar to the original, right? We incorporated all of the errata, and we switched a few things around and added some extra layers on top. But and we also made it a lot prettier because the original, if you go on BoardGameGeek and you look at the pictures of the original, it was, you made the map out of playing cards, so it was small and it had good art, but it wasn't like, I don't know,
Immersive.
immersive, sure,
Yeah.
yeah.
That's cool, man. That's really awesome that you guys were able to get that license and just say, hey, look, we want to do this, but we want to do it a little bit differently.
Yeah. Well, and we didn't just buy the license, we bought the rights to the game.
Y'all own it
We
outright.
all own the game outright. That's right.
That's awesome. Would there be ever like a sequel to it where maybe it moves to a different area of the world?
Well, that's an interesting question. The I, some of the parts of the game really only work for Europe in the medieval time period with the Mongols invading, like that whole Mongol invasion subsystem. I guess you could maybe do China, but China at the time of the Mongol invasions was, if I'm remembering right, it was more of a monolithic empire, Chinese empire or kingdom. And so it would be, there wouldn't be that same, it wouldn't be like the, if you were doing like the Warring States period, would probably be a better, if you would went to move to China, it would probably be a better time period for that. But I don't know that at that time there wasn't the big outside invasion, which is kind of what drives the gameplay in medieval.
Oh yeah. No, it was
So
just a thought, you know.
yeah, I guess one thing you could do, you could take that idea and move it to Mesoamerica and have it be, the Aztecs and here come the conquistador, right? The Aztecs and the and other groups in like where the Incas and the other groups in the Mesoamerica, and have it be the conquistadors coming in and gobbling up the map. I mean, you could adapt it that way.
That'd be interesting. That'd be really interesting. Yeah.
It would be. It would be. It, you'd have to change the flavor around, but I'm sure that there's. I'm sure you could change up some of the subsystems that were in there, and make that work.
That seems like it'd be really fun too, just incorporating all that. But back to this game. So you guys got the Kickstarter. You got it funded.
We did.
Was there a Kickstarter exclusive release for it? Or was everything just the retail version?
Everything was in the retail, right? This was a while ago where there wasn't as much of that Kickstarter exclusive kind of thing. And we did, I think the solitaire rules were something that were Kickstarter exclusive, at least for a while, right? For a year or maybe, I don't remember, but some period afterwards.
The Hazy Tones Disease.
Thank you. How do you feel the game plays best with the amount of people, the full six or 3 to 4?
That's
Because I
I
know.
like having six, but I've often like five, like four or five is also is really a is a good what's the word I'm looking for? Kind of a good range, because then it doesn't quite take things haven't changed quite so wildly by the time it gets back around to your turn.
That makes sense. Because I've played the solo variant a couple times, and I really like the way that everything kind of comes together.
I could see
So,
that.
yeah, so the solo is pretty fun. We've played two player, which is really good, but a lot of two player games, they just sometimes that two player addition just doesn't work. But this one, I feel like it does, where there's enough to do. But not that, how a lot of games you got to have that third ghost character.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, in this case, the Mongols are that third ghost,
Right.
right?
But they don't feel like that third player. They feel like an
Right.
actual, oh, this is coming. This is going to happen.
Like a kind of a force of nature, and that's because they're going to come in and they're going to stomp around and take over.
Exactly. So, what do you guys have on the board for future releases? What are you guys working on? Love to know about that.
Well, that's an interesting question, because that game company, it kind of came together just for just to print Medieval. And I know I exited the game company
Yeah.
due to creative differences, let's call it. That's what they say when a band breaks up, right? Creative differences.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
A little bit after that game, after Medieval came out, the rest of the guys wanted to take it in off in a different direction, the company, and I had really gotten involved to get to just do this one game. And so we did. So I have prior to doing Medieval, I had worked on a number of games as a developer, a little bit like Medieval, where we made some changes or we're getting it ready for production. And I continued to do that.
Oh, well, that's cool. So you just stay busy doing playtesting and checking out other games?
And working on a couple of game systems from a company called GMT Games.
Okay. Yeah, I'm a big fan of GMT. Their war recreation games are really cool.
That's what I got into the hobby a long time ago. And when I was 11 or 12, and that's where I primarily play those kinds of games. Medieval is kind of on the like the low page count for rules for the kind of games that I typically play
Oh yeah.
or work on.
So did you have a hand in Mr. President? Was it the 2000 to 2020
I
game?
did not.
You didn't? Okay.
No, that's this inside GMT. There's a bunch of different teams, development teams, and development slash design teams, and that work on different things. And I work on the Men of Iron series,
Okay.
which actually that we just came out and actually the Richard Berg, the original designer of Medieval, passed away back in 2019, 2020, 20, I think it was 2019 that he passed away. And so I made the latest game in the series, and then on the Next War series of games, and that's one that I'm going to be playtesting tonight. We're redoing Taiwan,
Oh,
which
okay.
is in the news nowadays.
Yes, it is. That's neat, man. I like that. I like that you're, kind of getting in there playing with all these. What would you say is your favorite game? Which one do you go back to? Long week, do you just want to relax, play a cool game? Which one, what are you going to?
That's a great question. I end up play testing or designing. We're working on designs of games on like on the Next War and the Men of Iron. So I end up playing those a ton. I don't, because I'm always working on the next one, I don't go back to them very often. What do I play a lot? There was an if I just wanted to relax and have a good time, there was an old series of games from Victory Games that came out in the late 80s. It was about Cold War naval battles between the Soviets and the US and allies and NATO. And I the Fleet series, and I Second Fleet, Third Fleet, Fourth Fifth Fleet, Seventh Fleet, and I enjoy those a lot.
Oh, okay. So that's kind of like in the realm of Risk, a little close, but more like realistic. Yeah.
I mean that's it's more on the Axis and Allies scale, right side, but then different, more realistic.
I got you. Have you played Diplomacy?
Yeah, actually, that was one of the first couple of games I ever played. As imagine being like 11 or 12 and playing that game, it was kind of wild.
Oh yeah, I enjoy that one. I actually picked it up on Amazon. They were doing a flash sale, and it was some ridiculous, like $6.
That's an amazing price for that game.
Yes, I know. I had been watching it for a while, and I couldn't make myself buy it for like the full retail, just because I own a lot of games. I just don't have a lot of time to play, and I don't have a big friend group to, hang out with.
I understand.
So I kept looking at that one, and finally, when it dropped, I was like, you know what? For that price, yeah, I'm gonna get it.
Oh, I can understand. And that one in particular, you need 5 to 7 players to play.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely not a solo.
No.
I mean,
No.
you could, I guess, but
You could.
that'd be a lot of moving around the table.
Well, and the worst part about that is it's got the secret orders. So it's hard to keep secrets from yourself. I guess maybe if you drank enough while you were playing, you could do
That could be an interesting concept. Well, I could start a
it
YouTube
could.
video on that
You could a whole series. Yeah.
Oh, man.
So, Wes, what kind of games do you typically play?
Honestly, I'm kind of all over the board.
Okay.
No pun intended. I'm a big Ticket to Ride fan.
Okay.
I like Mysterium. The one where you play as a ghost and give the investigators clues to how you died, but you can't
Interesting.
talk.
Okay.
That one's really fun. And they made a not really an expansion, but kind of a sequel. It's called Mysterium Park, and it's a smaller version, but still the same concept. And we enjoy those. We enjoy games like that where we kind of role play
Right.
as different people.
I could see that.
I like the war games. Of course, I'm a Risk guy. I really dig the 2210.
Okay.
The future expansion
The
of it,
future one. Okay.
where you can colonate Mars and all those. I've got Terraforming Mars. I like that one. So yeah, I'm kind of what would you call those? Like resource management.
Resource management games, sure. Yeah.
Yeah, that's where I've
No,
always
that's
been.
Live Loose, Magpie. Blindly crossing, yet prepared.
I could see that. Yeah. It's those are I've played those. I tend to play more of the war games when I get together with folks, just because, except for say my family, because I like the war games more, and of course my family doesn't. we'll play some train games. My wife, I don't know if you've ever seen the rail games where you draw your lines with a crayon on
Oh
the
yeah.
map. She likes those. We played some other, like maybe slightly different rail games, and what else? And other, family type games. I guess we got Castles of Tuscany or something like that recently, like last year, and played it several times. So.
Oh yeah. Is that in the same realm of the was that Castles of Burgundy?
It's yeah, it's this. It's that's what I'm told. Yes, is that it's the it's just it. There's something slightly different about it. Maybe
Okay.
it's maybe more focused or something. I don't know. I never played the other one.
Yeah, I've seen it a dozen times, and I it's one of those I can't make myself pick up.
Yeah.
Let me run this by you. So me and my co-host were talking the other day, and we were talking because so one of my co-hosts, she's the youngest in her family. The other one's an only child, and it's kind of a weird dynamic between them. Because you get to see the perspectives from both sides, and
Sure.
it's really interesting. And we were talking about how when we were younger, we didn't really play a lot of board games because we didn't have that circle. We did not have that circle of friends, group, family, whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know what would be really cool? A board game rental space where you go in, kind of like Blockbuster, and you go
Yeah.
in, you rent the game for a weekend, a night, whatever. That way you don't drop 80 to 160 to more, because you and I both know games get expensive.
They sure do, yeah.
And it's one of those things where once you get it, you play it, you decide, okay, well, maybe we do buy this.
Right. Yeah, they're actually in the Seattle area. There's a place called what is that? Man, I can't even remember now. I've been there and I've played games there and I've purchased some games there. They do mail order and they have a restaurant
Oh,
where
wow.
you can sit and eat and or play games. And they also have a game room and they'll host Magic the Gathering or and things events like that. But you can just go and sit and play games. And they have kind of a library of board games that you can essentially borrow to play. And so something like that, where like it's kind of that try before you buy. One of the dudes I used to hang out with before he moved away, he loved going to game conventions because he could sit down and he would play like as many different games as he could that sounded interesting because while he at that you're rolling the dice on whether you're going to have an enjoyable time with the people, but at least you get to play the game and see whether you might like that for his family of like five or six people, right? And rather than drop, he was like, yeah, dropping $50 or $60 to go to the game convention and for like 2 days and playing these six or eight games lets me then decide, oh, this would be a good game for my family. I should go spend the $80 for that game, as opposed to this game is not something that I would have fun with. So I'm, it saved him that kind of random purchase like you're talking about.
That's really cool. I guess they're probably pocketed in deep, dense areas. Like I'm pretty sure Atlanta's got a few. I know we've got one here in town that you can bring a game and play it there. Like one of that you own just to see if you can get people around the table.
Right.
Which that's a cool concept.
But yeah, so you could, but and a lot of times at the game conventions they'll have like a board game library where you can go and check them out and return them. But yeah, like some what was that? I still can't remember the name of the place. It's not important, but they've got a couple of like places here in Seattle. But that so that it clearly can work as a business.
That would be cool, because that's what we had talked about down here was there's not a lot to do in my hometown. We're a small little pocket just north of Atlanta,
Okay.
And we're trying to grow. I see the development, but the things that the city are trying to push are things that it doesn't seem like people are interested in.
Yeah.
But that's neither here nor there. That has nothing to do with me. Let me do my podcast.
That's right. That's city planning, right?
Exactly.
That's city planners all have their ideas, and they all I worked with a guy who was, his wife was a city planner, and so he knew all about it. And they all feel the same way, and they all go to the same conferences, and they all come up with this. So they're all the same.
Yeah, I figured, but I'm glad somebody else could confirm that.
Yeah. But so that would be a really cool idea, is to have a place where, yeah, you could like that kind of try before you buy.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Absolutely. Cause I've dropped some money on a couple of games I really thought that I would like. I watched the YouTube videos, went through the, the Board Game Geek, saw the ratings.
I do.
And then it's like, oh, this is a great game, just not for me.
Yeah. I've had the opposite reaction. Oh, wow. I don't like this game. And I don't even think it's a good game. I think these people who rated them were wrong.
Mm-hmm. Like, how can that many people be that wrong?
Yeah. Yeah. Which probably means that it's just, I don't like it. But, some of them, I don't know, some of them, you read the rules or something, and it's just, you can't get through the rules because they're just, not written well. There's a lot of that in board games.
Yes, there is. And there's that whole, well, they left out, well, what happens when this happens?
That's right. Yes.
Well, yes. We didn't expect that to actually happen.
That's right. I've been there, done that, and it's like, and but things happen, and you should have rules about that. Yeah,
absolutely.
I end up answering rules questions online about the games that I work on, and I love it when I can quote a rule and be like, "Yep, you just missed this rule,"
Mm-hmm.
Because it means we came up with something.
Yeah, that was one reason I wanted to reach out to you, because I was in the forum for Medieval, reading through it, and I saw your responses, and I was like, okay, this guy, he knows his stuff.
We played a lot of Medieval. I used to go to there was a game convention up here, and I would go and I would have tournaments, because you can play Medieval super fast. You can teach it and get people through a game in about 2 hours.
Oh, wow.
And so if you keep things moving, right, you have to push some people occasionally, and I'm good at that. So I would have like a tournament, and we would like give out a prize, that I would like buy a prize and be like, here, right. Because I could, right? And then I would give away a game that I bought and I didn't like. And then I could have a whole tournament, right? In a 4 hour time block at a convention, and we could have like the winners of the first game go on to the five winners. We would often get 10 people, so we'd have two games of five, and then the winners of the people who did the best in those games within the first, those top five would go on to like a final round. It was a lot of fun.
That does sound like fun. Spring is in the air, and you know what that means. Live music returns to the Rockmart Theater, 116 East Elm Street in Rockmart, Georgia, April 6th at 7 p.m., Andy E. McGuire and his band. $10 admission. Experience the captivating power of country gospel music at the Rockmart Theater on Saturday, April 6th at 7 p.m., as the highly acclaimed artist Andy E. McGuire takes the stage with his talented band. This live concert promises to be an unforgettable evening of soul-stirring melodies and uplifting harmonies. Leading the rhythm section is the dynamic drummer Elton Griffin, whose infectious beats will have you tapping your feet in no time. Carlos Wilhelm, a virtuoso guitarist, will weave his magic fingers across the strings, creating memorable riffs that will resonate in your spirit. Levi White, an accomplished bassist, will anchor the performance with his melodic grooves, providing a solid foundation for the band. Completing the ensemble is the skilled keyboardist Lynn Hicks, whose mastery of the keys will add an extra layer of depth and emotion to the music. Together, they will create a musical experience that transcends genres and touches the hearts of all who attend. Don't miss out on this extraordinary concert with Andy E. McGuire and his band at the Rockmart Theater. Secure your tickets now for an evening of soulful country gospel that will leave you inspired and uplifted. Get your VIP passes today at andyemcguire.com and check it out.
Horizon Theory, Nowhere to Go.
When you've got nowhere to go, when you've lost your soul and everyone you know, when you scream inside no more, locked behind these unchained doors.
One sip and I feel like my heart's not broken. I try to fight through the bad day, but the pain is a drug that I overdose slowly. I feel like I don't know me. This bottle in my hand got me feeling so lonely. Drugged out and stumbling, fumbling. The thought of my life just crumbling. Gotta go, gotta get away, but I know that I got nowhere to fucking stay. This time I won't play. Oh please God, just give me one more day.
Closer to Seattle.
Well, and you know, there's a lot of places back further east. Virginia, there's a bunch of big giant game conventions where they have 1,500, 2,000 people.
Wow. That's really cool. I need to get out to more conventions. I don't, I just with my busy schedule, I just don't get a chance. I don't get the chance to go to the game ones, the music ones.
Yeah.
And it just, it kind of sucks.
It does. I understand. Yeah. We, I've been, I, you know, I work a lot. I'm sure you do too, right? Because everyone works so that they have a place to live.
And so we can buy more board games.
So we can buy more board games, exactly. And then, you know, I have a day job, and then I work on games, and then I hang out with my family. And so like, it's hard to get out to things, mm-hmm. but then, you know, like, and so recently I was like, this comedian that I like was coming into town. I was like, oh, I'm going to take the family to that, because he's relatively clean and my kid is 15 and he's old enough that we can do that.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, we all had a great time. And I was like, we need to do stuff like this more often, because you need to just get out and about, because otherwise, you know, I'm sure you sit and you go to work, you sit in your house or your apartment, and you just, you know, you don't get out and do things.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's modern life is pushing us more towards that. You can order everything online, food, you know, clothing, you know, whatever you need, books, whatever you need, board games, famously, right?
You can exactly.
order whatever you want from Amazon. It shows up. Sometimes I ordered a book and it showed up before I woke up the next day.
Oh, wow.
Because I'm in the Seattle area. It's crazy.
Yeah. So you're right there.
Yeah.
They probably just walked it over from the headquarters.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. Like you'd think with all the technology that can bring people together, it doesn't as much as you think it would.
It doesn't as much. No. And while I end up, you know, like tonight I'm going to be playtesting this game with a guy in New Jersey. Right. And that's the great part about the internet and stuff that you can, you know, the programs that you can use to play games online,
mm-hmm.
but it's not the same.
No.
Right. And so there are times where we'll, you know, like I'll go to a game convention and I'll see him and we'll hang out and, you know, and it's just that hanging out it's something that it's better to be in person. Right. Even this is great, because you know we can sit and talk across, you know, the country,
mm-hmm.
but you know it would not be the same as if we were sitting down having a beer, just having a chat, right?
Right, and those are things that I think people miss. I mean, you can go all the way back to, you know, pre-internet days when people mm-hmm. were playing chess with people across the world, across the country,
or by mail.
By mail, yeah,
yeah.
You have to keep it set up in the corner over there.
That's right.
His move will be here in 3 days.
Exactly. Yes. If the post works well.
If the post works well. If not, it may be a week.
Yeah. But yeah, actually sitting down. And that's actually one thing that I really love about games, board games. Let's take it back to board games. One thing I really love about board games is that it gives that impetus to get out of your house to go or to have people over and mm-hmm. to hang out and to socialize that I think modern life is eroding.
All the
entertainment, everything is on, you know, you're going to go see the movie in the theater. Well, mm-hmm. but if you wait a couple of months, you wouldn't even have to do that.
Probably not even a couple of months. Was it now like 2 weeks?
Yeah. Something like that. Something crazy.
Yeah.
Depends on the movie.
True. But that's something, though. I enjoy the movie theater, not as mm-hmm. much as I used to, but I do enjoy that getting out, going to sit down, and that's what you're doing. You're not pulling your phone out. You're not talking. You're watching the movie. And I feel like you get distracted when you're at home, because it's like, oh, pause the movie. I want another bag of chips.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, or worse, you know, you get a phone call or you get a text. Or mm-hmm. my wife, we rewatched the first Dune, mm-hmm. and I rewatched it, and uh-huh. she sat there on her iPad scrolling through videos about how to put on makeup.
That sounds about right. My girl would have been watching art tutorials, because she actually owns an art gallery above my podcast studio, and she's already told me she's not watching the first Dune. We watch clips on YouTube. She's like, nope. She's like, well, watch the new one. I'm not watching the old one.
Well, yeah. That's well, isn't she going to be a little bit lost with the story? Because
Oh no, I meant the
they,
original Dune.
oh, the original Dune. Oh,
Yeah,
the eight, the L, oh, the 84 David Lynch. Yeah, no,
Yes.
that's fair. That's fair. I couldn't get, I it came out, it was in a theater here for like 2 days, and
Oh, nice.
I wanted to go. One of my buddies went, but I was like, come on, and like trying to get the family to go, and they were like, no, I don't want to see that. My wife had seen it a long time ago, and she's like, I couldn't make heads or tails of what was going on. And I was like, yeah, no, I get it. It was wild and weird. David Lynch was cr is he was a, he's an amazing director, but he's also absolutely crazy.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I rank him right up there with oh, his name just left me. Shining Kubrick.
Kubrick, yeah.
Yes. Eccentric.
Eccentric, yeah. When you have a lot of money like that, they call you eccentric.
Exactly.
Otherwise, you're just crazy. Yeah.
Yes.
Wave break. Call me cynical.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Well, man, I appreciate you coming on talking. This was fun. I'd love to catch up maybe after the new game, after you get it play tested.
Sure.
When you can
Yeah.
talk about it, I know there's a lot of stuff you can't say
Oh,
right now.
I can completely talk about it, but it's
Oh.
that's you're not going to want to hear about a game. I suspect you're not going to, you and your listeners aren't going to want to hear about a game about the the People's Republic of China invading Taiwan. And but maybe.
Could be interesting.
Yeah, could be.
Man, anytime you want to come on and talk board games, I'm always down. If you're in the Atlanta area, love to have you stop by. We actually built our own custom board game table.
Oh, really? That's cool.
We did.
I've seen some of those.
We built it for like less than $100 pre-2020. So that gives you a little bit of info. Just stabilized it this past week because the casters we put on it, we ended up doing it like a buggy. So you had to move it like 9 times to get it to where you wanted to.
Yes, I understand.
I said, no more of this. And I think it came out really well. I'd love to have you out, play a game on it. But until then, I'll send you a picture of it.
That sounds great.
Tell everybody where they can find you, Medieval, the games that you've worked on, all that fun stuff.
Well, that's a great question. So thank you for that opportunity, I should say. Wow. I've got that stock answer right there. That's a great question. I should be in politics or something. So the Medieval, I'm sure it's still being sold somewhere, but we didn't make a lot of them. There were print run was like 2,500, which is pretty small for games. So I'm sure you can get it on the secondary market. It is a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. I still play it. You know, we still break it out when we need something kind of we've got a couple hours and we want to have a good time. Sling invectives at each other because, you know, you're screwing up my plans. And then, my latest game, I do stuff online, but my latest game came out from GMT Games. It's Norman Conquests. It's about medieval battles in, you'll see a theme there with medieval stuff. Medieval battles in, from the invasion of 1066 and some other battles of the follow-on battles of from the Normans and their descendants. And then Next War Games are also available from GMT. And I answer questions online, and that's about it.
Very cool, man. Well, thank you again. I've really enjoyed this. Honestly, this is my first interview back since September. When I quit my other podcast, just kind of let it go. Punk rock and metal. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have time for it. And with this new podcast, we don't do it as often. So try to get really cool people to come on and talk. And I think you fit the bill for that.
Well, I appreciate that. Though all the metal I like is super old. So
there's nothing wrong with that.
And no, I still listen to Black Sabbath and the Dio stuff is the best, of course, but
absolutely.
Judas Priest, all that stuff.
Absolutely.
Anyway,
definitely my favorites.
Yep. They're still great.
They are.
Well, Wes, thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Ralph. Thank you for coming on. Like I said, I don't know how many times I can say it. I've enjoyed having you.
I appreciate that. It was great to talk to you.
It was great talking to you. And I'll see you on Board Game Geek.
Yep. You have a great weekend.
You too, my friend.
Bye.
YKC, alive in me.
Foundation fortress stronghold, my deliverer. In my weakness, he is strong. His presence.